praise to Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. And Father, as we once again gather in your name on this day of the Lord, fill our hearts with faith and a sense of wonder as we continue to worship you. We ask and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Welcome all of you to St. Andrew's Cathedral, especially if you are new here. I'm Terry Wong, the vicar of the cathedral, and along with Reverend Peter Cook, who is celebrating. It's our joy for us to serve you. Being the fifth Sunday of the month, this is also Friendship Sunday. That is given greater focus at our Saturday 5 p.m. service and Sunday 9 a.m. service. But because of that, we are taking a break from the book of James. And I've chosen this morning to look at the psalm. It's not usual that we will get to hear a sermon on a psalm, right? So Psalm 8, please turn your Bible to Psalm 8. Now, the book of Psalm is a hymnal. I remind ourselves of that. So the oldest hymnal in the cathedral pew is the book of Psalm. And so a psalm is a song. And so that's the reason why we don't say chapter 2 or chapter 3. We just say Psalm 8. Very often when a psalm is sung or said as part of a psalmody or canticle in the Anglican service, we end with the Gloria Patri, in the name of the glory of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But occasionally when a psalm is read and meant to be preached on as a scripture reading, it is so all right for us to say this is the word of the Lord. So it's unusual this morning and trust you'll be blessed. As we look at this psalm, the first psalm of praise. Now that may surprise you, but most of the psalms, actually in the book of Psalms, are psalms of lamentation about suffering and pain. But the first psalm of praise in the book of Psalms, and the only song where every verse is addressed to God. In a short 70-word Hebrew poem, it directs us to wonder. That's the reason why I entitled this sermon, A Sense of Wonder. It directs us to wonder at the praise of children. To wonder at creation. And to wonder, given who we are in the midst of this great creation, to wonder, why should God love us? So we come straight to verse 2, and the first point on the highlight is the praise of children. So verse 2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Through the praise of children. And there's something in the young, in the children that we admire. Their purity of love, humility, sincerity. In some ways, we often long to be young again. Not just because we want to have the smooth baby skin, but that sense of innocence, that sense of being carefree. Some of you who are driving this morning, you may not realize it, but it is a car-free Sunday, not determined by the cathedral, but by the authorities. So for those who are driving, it may be car-free, but it's not carefree, right? So some of you may have made the tours around the cathedral just to get to the car park. So a sense of carefree observed in little children. Have you observed how a baby sleeps? I love to stare at baby sleeping. The sense of peace on their face are quite the perfect sleep. Quite unlike adults, right? When we are sleeping, have you observed an adult sleep? I know for a fact that many clergy camps, I often share a room with another clergy. You know, you don't just see, you hear sounds, right? And you look at the clergy's face, he's, he's snorting, his face is all screwed up. The sense of anxiety on an adult's face, but you don't see it in children. This struck this psalmist, the sense of wonder and praise from the lips of little children, especially as they grow up and observe the world around them. This point is a philosophical point, a sense of wonder. It was Plato who said that all philosophy begins with wonder. Wonder is the impulse that asks why. Give a toy to a little boy and he will break it to find out what make it whirl, what make it tick, chime, what make it speak. I can recall, as a little boy, my toys never lasted that long. It is our hidden Narnia, into which we long to step and explore. The touch of a hand, the smile on another human face. That's the first thing a baby sees, is a face of another. The first note of music grips a child with a sense of wonder. But alas, as we grow up as adults, how easy it is to lose that sense of wonder. Perhaps now we know too much. While there's still beauty, you have become aware of the ugliness of human nature, of the suffering of creation that can go terribly wrong in a tsunami or earthquake. Perhaps you wake up every morning with worries and cares. Even this morning, coming to church, worries and cares, you find it difficult to pause to observe the beauty around you. And as always, that greatest spoiler of life, sin. Addiction to something that keeps you from enjoying the beauty of your family, the beauty of your friends, the beauty of nature. The fixation on the tree of good and evil keeps us from enjoying the Garden of Eden, early chapters of Genesis. So the psalmist here reminds us, look at the young, and challenges to discover the sense of wonder, because praise is powerful. Praise can knock down untruth. Praise can stand up against evil, because the praise for young, of infant, is full of truth. The Bible says that the mercies of God are new every morning. We can stay young and new every day. Not that we should be childish, but we are aware again how beautiful life is. Through that, begin to be more aware of the presence of God. It was Ravi Zacharias, the great apologist, who said this. The tragedy with growing up, it's not that we lose childishness, it is simplicity, but that we lose childlikeness in its sublimity. A sense of wonder from the lips of children. The psalmist, of course, move on to focus on a sense of wonder that come to us when we look at creation. So verse 1, Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars, which you have set in place. From time memorial, as men look at the skies, he's gripped by a sense of wonder. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. A lullaby inspired by a poem by Jane Taylor, written in the 19th century. Today, of course, we know a lot more about this universe. In the past, man could only see with his naked eyes, pinpricks of light coming in from the skies, and he's overjoyed. Today, we have powerful telescopes that can see so much more. And we have placed them in spacecrafts and fly them further and nearer for even better and more detailed view. And how vast, how mystifying, and how beautiful the universe is. Now, we now know what these little stars are. They are a huge amount of information discovered and still being discovered. But Psalm 8, the message of Psalm 8 has not been made irrelevant through modern science. In fact, it's even more relevant today. Science simply confirms how vast and how amazing the universe is. How big is big? How vast the universe? Well, let me just give you some mathematics here to help us to have a sense. Well, the moon, I'm not sure whether there's a PowerPoint there. Yep. Here's the Earth. The Earth is almost 8,000 miles in circumference, right? You travel around the Earth. The moon is nearly 240,000 miles away from the Earth. That's the nearest object, huh? So to speak. So you circle the Earth 30 times, you reach the moon. And what about the nearest star to us in our solar system? Of course, it is the sun, lest you forget, right? And the sun is 93 million miles away. Now, beyond that, you can't use miles or kilometers anymore. You have to come up with a new unit of measurement, right? And so you have heard of the word light year. A light year is 6 trillion miles. It's 6 with 12 zeros, right? It's not a measure of time, but a measure of distance. The distance that light will cover in a year if it travels at that speed. So the sun is 8 minute light years from the Earth. Again, you move further on, right? The solar system, of course, is huge as all the planets gather around the sun. The previous one, we're not gone so far here. The nearest object, the furthest, outermost of the solar system, is about 1.87 light year. Then you move beyond the solar system to the galaxy, to the solar interstellar neighborhood. So there are other solar systems around us. And you move further up, and you get the Milky Way. Right, so our solar system is in the Milky Way, and think about this, our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is 100,000 light years wide. You move further up, the local galactic group, cluster of galaxies, to move further up, and then you have to come up with a supercluster. This is a Virgo supercluster. You move further out at the local superclusters. You move further out, but you almost can't fit it in a PowerPoint anymore, right? Observable universe, we are still not sure, but it's definitely larger, the 15 million light years wide. Just very brief, but it's staggering when you think about how large universe is. So the prophet in Isaiah 41 verse 10, right? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, or with the breath of his hand mark off the heavens? And so he's just using the only instrument he has, that is his hand. You think of the great seas around him as the hollow of his hands, and through that he marked out, as he stretched out his hands, he tried to measure the skies. You see? And he asked this question, who has measured? He wondered about God. This person, providence. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, or with the breath of his hands mark out the heavens? I was reading an up-to-date book on science this last a few months. And it's interesting, at his conclusion, he's still saying, it's either chance or providence. There's still so much we don't know. The why questions. An ancient man looked up. He's not just asking what or why. He asks who. He sees God in the world that he looks up on top. A sense of wonder of creation. A rather serious sermon. Are you okay this morning? Now, when I come to talk about creation, it reminds me of this story I love to tell. You know, there are 7 English-speaking services in the cathedral. Sometimes I don't I'm not able to keep track all the jokes or stories I've told. So you have heard this before. Please put a smile again, right? The story of, fictitious story, of course, of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. So one night they decide to go out camping in the middle of the night. So they went, they pitched up a tent, and they fell asleep in the tent. And then Sherlock Holmes woke up and he nudged Watson, wake up Watson. Look up into the skies. Then he asked Dr. Watson, what do you see? As usual, Dr. Watson, in trying to impress, he said, astronomically, it tells me that there are billions of stars and millions of galaxies. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is near Leo. Theologically, it tells me that God is great and how small we are. Horologically, it tells me that it is about 3 hours after midnight. And meteorologically, it tells me that next morning we're going to have good weather. Holmes, what does it tell you? Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen the tent. I like this joke. Because all our brilliance, sometimes we miss the point. We miss the sense of wonder at what God has done. And of course, this is the most important part of this psalm, the sense of wonder at the love of God. So the psalmist asked, 2,000 years ago, he asked this question, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Another version to put it, the sons of men that you care for them. In 1977, NASA launched a space probe called the Voyager. 1977. It's meant to go further, nearer, to have a better view of our solar system. And it took many beautiful pictures. Let me just show you one or two. Here's Jupiter, the next one. Neptune, of course, enhanced too by computers as the pixels, the data is transmitted back to Earth. The next one, the Voyager, Saturn, it stopped there. In 1990, that's the most, more than 10 years, right? 1990, it reaches the edge of the solar system, and that's 4 billion miles from Earth. That's significant. It's reached the edge of the solar system, so it's about to move into interstellar space. NASA decided to pause, to make this probe look back and take a picture of the solar system. It did precisely that. 60 composite pictures. And slowly the data was sent slowly back to Earth. And when these pictures finally assembled, it became the most profound, beautiful, amazing picture the Voyager has sent back. Do you want to see it? Are you ready for it? The next slide. Do you see anything? Nothing. But this is the most beautiful picture. Can you see a streak of light? The next slide. All right. So what happened is that as the picture was put together, it so happened there was a ray of sun. Sunlight. And there is a little dot, that ray of light. This picture is 640,000 pixels. This speck is just 112 pixels. And guess what this little speck is? It is the Earth. Staggering when you think about it. Now, how small is cathedral? 0.00 pixel, right? You think about it, right? Yeah, how small are you? You know, you can't even put yourself in, you can't even pixelize yourself anymore, right? But on this amazing picture, the whole solar system, it takes all can see is just this little dawn. And since then, this because it's called the Pale Blue Dawn. You can Google. It's a very famous book. It's a very famous picture. So many have philosophized about this picture. It was Carl Sagan who said this. Look again at that dawn. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of. So the most famous people down through the centuries, in time and space, every human being who has ever was, they live out their lives on a mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. On a mote of dust, suspended in sunbeam. The same verse from Isaiah chapter 20, 42, verse 10. He asks this question: who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? The ancient man saw the earth and it's just a dust, the basket. We wipe off dust, I wipe off my dust off my iPad this morning. And thinking, but in universe terms, the earth, just a mode of dust. It's profound. And you ask yourself, what is man? Who am I? And this psalmist is asking here, who am I? Yeah, even mindful of me. Who am I that you care for me, that you love me? Because modern science have revealed a lot more. I'm referring to the same book I have read, the person that asked this question, we are very lucky to be here. It seems as everything, not just on earth, but all around us, the universe, is made to enable life here on earth. This sense, as you look around creation, he asks this sense of wonder, who am I that God, you should love me? Verse 5 says, you have made them a little lower, referring to men, than angels. And you crown them, you have crowned us with glory and honor. You have made man rule over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. Greatness is found not just in the universe, but as you understand the earth. There isn't time this morning for me to just open a whole another branch of just looking what modern science has discovered about the earth that we have, and therefore our responsibility to tend and to mend the creation that God has allowed us to understand, allow us to govern over. But here, psalmist says, not only am I loved and I am cared, has crowned me with glory and honor in the midst of creation. Not only am I loved, not only do I found significance to the fact that I'm loved, but that he has given me a responsibility. Brothers and sisters, I think this psalm is amazing. And when you know this morning as you come to church, you'll be wondering who you are. I think it's even significant at all. The joys of childhood, the beauty of the world has long gone. Because of things they've gone through in life. Perhaps things have happened recently. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. It's amazing when you think of how profound the whole universe is, but that God loves me. that my life is significant. I'm not just a blot floating in the universe by chance, randomly. He loves me. He has a plan for me. And has imbued me with a sense of purpose and significance. Not just me, but all of us. Sense of wonder. Of pristine human nature. Sense of wonder of creation. A sense of wonder that He should care and love us. Father, we pray this morning is the day of worship, the day of the Lord, where we set apart and to mesmerize again by You, O God. Not by the mammons of this world, not by the little things that we are sometimes so fascinated about, which leads us nowhere and harbor no eternal significance. But this morning, the day of the Lord, to set aside and to say, oh God, You are great. For my friends here, some who are seeking to know You, that this morning we pray, may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, as not just as a Creator, but as a Savior, as the one who loves them. Thank You, Lord, we pray for this message and this psalm. Receive it afresh this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to respond to God's Word by declaring together the Nicene Creed. You'll find it on page 32. Let us stand together as we declare our faith in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in one God.